Mark chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter number 4, verses 1 through 20. We're going to continue our Sunday night series called Jesus, Lessons from the Life of Christ. We're continuing on learning about what he taught and what he did. And he teaches a principle about farming, about cultivating, about the Word of God growing fruit in your life. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 4 and verse number 1 of the book of Mark. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it was withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground. It did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." That's when you begin to understand these parables. And he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the what?" Okay, so the seed is the word. Okay, verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended, they stumble, they fall. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Lord, I pray that every single one of us would receive the word with gladness tonight. I pray that your word would go forth and do its will. It would bring forth fruit in the life of every individual in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just this week, my wife fell sick. She wasn't feeling well. And if you probably don't know this about me, but I have very little sympathy for people who are sick. I know, you guys are like, you're a jerk, Pastor. You're a jerk. When somebody has the sniffles or their kid has the sniffles, I'm like, okay, all right, build a bridge, get over it. That's just my, and it's not good. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I just don't have very much sympathy. And I know that's wrong. I know I should. And she was sick. And I'll just be honest, I was a big jerk to her. I wasn't me. I wasn't like mad at her. I just didn't show sympathy towards her. I wasn't going out of my way to meet her needs and hey, do you need some tea or can I get you something? Can I take care of you? The fruit that she was desiring to seek from my life was more like spoiled fruit. It didn't taste very good. What she was trying to pick out of my life wasn't very good for her. It was something she wanted to spew from her mouth. How many of you guys have ever been there before? The fruit that somebody in your life, your wife, your husband, your kids, your coworker, whoever it is, your church members, church family, they came to you to pick a certain kind of fruit from your life only to find that it was spoiled. that it was rotten, that it wasn't very good to receive. How many of you guys have ever been a jerk? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I'm not the only jerk in this room. All right. Because we've all been there. God desires for you and I to bear fruit. And that fruit isn't for us to walk around in self-glory, proclaiming how fruitful we are. It's so that when people enter into our life, they can pick that fruit and enjoy it themselves. You say, what kind of fruit are you talking about? I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's the kind of fruit that God wants you to have produced in your life so that it could benefit and uplift and edify those that are around you. And people who may be unsaved can maybe enter into your life and pick that fruit and say, well, how'd you grow that fruit? And where'd that fruit come from? And how come you have this joy, although the circumstances in your life seem pretty terrible? And how come you have this comfort? Where's this comfort coming from? And where's this peace is coming from? And where do you get this? And you can look them in the eye and say, it comes from Jesus. What kind of fruit is being produced in your life? What do people receive when they get around you? What is it like? The human heart is like soil. Jesus uses a parable to describe our heart. He says, your heart is like soil. And what that soil does to the Word of God determines what kind of fruit grows in your life. So he describes four different types of soil, or in other words, four different types of hearts that are represented and may be represented right here in this room. The first type of soil that God illustrates in this story is the hard heart or the hard soil. You guys see that, right? It says in verse number 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And so you see this. Notice in verse 15, and these are they which by the wayside where the word was sown, but when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see that? It's the hard heart. This person's heart is hard because many people have tread on this heart. This person resists the word of God. And the reason why their heart is hard is because people and circumstances have tread on that heart. If you go to any campground, you'll find that the paths in those campgrounds, the paths are hard. And the reason why they're hard is because many people trample on those paths. Those who recklessly open their heart to all kinds of people and all types of influences are in danger of developing this hard heart. I know a lot of Christians out there who gladly received the word and it began to grow, but they began to allow themselves to be influenced by so many different voices out there that contradicted the word of God. And because of that, they were developing a hardened heart, or they were maybe used in some way, or they were abused in another way, or a pastor got up and began preaching the word of God deceitfully and manipulation in a legalistic manner, and the Christian life wasn't a blessing anymore, it became more of a burden. And that's when the hearts become trampled upon. And if you're not careful, you can develop a hard heart. And it doesn't just come from churches and pastors. This comes from anywhere, from your workplace. How many of you guys ever had somebody at the workplace use you? How many of you guys ever had anybody, any shysters in your life? Anybody take your money before? You kind of develop a hard heart towards, because of those circumstances. We had a guy, when my wife and I were in our young 20s, he wanted to sell us a variable universal life insurance. And I was like, he said, hey, do you want to be a millionaire when you retire? I said, who doesn't want to be a millionaire when you retire? And he came to our house and said, this is, if you put in this amount of money each month, by the time you're 65, you can retire and you borrow money from yourself that then have to pay back with interest, but you avoid taxes. And so this is how this works. And we're just gullible and believed him because he went to the church we went to. And come to find out, he was just using us. After 3 years of putting over $100 a month into this VUL, we found out that it was just a scam. I called him up 3 years later. I said, hey, this thing isn't working out for us. He goes, yeah, I'm not just selling that anymore. That's junk. Thanks a lot, jerk. You know what that does for any salesman that comes my way trying to sell me any type of life insurance now? Yeah, because somebody trampled on my heart. When you've been around people who have abused you, it just hardens you. How many of you guys are with me on this? It's just hard. You've been in a relationship that was abusive. It just hardens you. And you have to be extremely careful about who you allow to influence your life. Don't just open up your heart to everybody and just anybody. I know a guy, he meets a person for the first time. He's a very close relative of mine. And he'll meet him for the first time. And I'll say, hey, how'd it go? How'd it go with that meeting? He goes, oh, he's the greatest guy ever. And it's like he falls for these shysters, only to come to find out that other guy was his friend, only to use him until he was done with them. There are very few true friends out there, and you have to be extremely careful about who you expose your heart to, who you allow yourself to be vulnerable to, because there's a lot of people who would like to just use you up and spit you out so for their advantage and for their gain. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible warns us. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep there simply means guard. Guard your heart with all diligence. Be diligent about what investments you're putting your money in. And be diligent about what church you're joining. Be diligent about what sermons you're listening to. Be diligent about what financial endeavor you plan on entering into. Because if you're not careful, you're going to expose yourself to all these wolves out there in this world, only to have your heart trampled and only to have your heart hardened because of it. So guard your heart. Guard it with all be diligent. The word diligent simply means to investigate. Look into. Don't just be flippant about the decisions and the influences that come your way. Be diligent. Look into it. Investigate. You know, when I hire somebody, I don't just find the first guy I kind of like and just, hey, yeah, come on up. Man, I investigate. I call his pastor. I talk to his friends. I talk to people around him. I want to know what I'm getting myself into. Listen, if you're a single young lady, before you get into a relationship, be diligent. You better know that person before you marry them. You better guard yourself. You got to know what that guy's like when he's going through hard times. You got to know what that girl's like before you marry her. Be diligent. Guard your heart. Don't just open it up to everybody. Then the Bible says this in Jeremiah 4:3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. To break up the fallow ground, the fallow ground is ground that has not been tilled yet. It's ground that has not been cultivated. So he's saying, break that up and don't let your heart become hardened. Break up the fallow ground. Don't sow among the thorns. Hosea 10:12 says this, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I've seen people come into church with hard hearts. I've met many of them. They're hard towards church. You invite them to church, I ain't going to church. I've had my experience with church. What's being exposed at that moment is somebody who's been hurt by church or somebody at their church. I ain't going there. Most atheists weren't born atheists. They're usually Christians who are hurt first. You know, you witness to somebody and there's, I don't want to hear about it. Or you try to help somebody. Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. We see a lot of people that come in here with a heart, like their heart is hard. It's really hard. And it's because it's been trampled on for a long time. You know what's so great, though? Man, I've seen their hearts become softened. They'll come in here with their arms kind of folded, you know. They're in here like, I don't even want to come to church today, you know. And then all of a sudden the music's going like, well, I kind of like that song, you know. And that was a pretty good song. You kind of see them opening up a little bit. And you can kind of see their heart softening. And then here's the word of God being preached. And at the end of the service, they're kind of like, man, I need help. And I just love seeing the word of God break up the fallow ground. The Bible says that the word of God is like a rock. The word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Do you know why I preach the Bible? Because hardened hearts come into this place all the time, and it's only the word of God that's going to break up that fallow ground. It's going to break up that hardened heart. And that might be you. You might be sitting here with a hard heart. You've been trampled on. I understand it's unfair, and I understand that you are hurt. But can I tell you something? The word of God is so powerful to cultivate and to till that hardened heart and to break it up so you can develop a softer heart, one that could receive the word of God. There's a lot of people just coming to church, man. They're just like, yeah, I heard a lot of sermons, heard a lot of Bible. Just kind of here doing, just going through the motions, you know, got to put on a show for my kids and for my wife. But listen, allow the word of God to break that up, develop a soft heart. Because if somebody hurt you, that means your faith was put in man, not in God. If somebody hurt you and your heart is hard, that means your faith was in man, not in God. And I'll tell you, I can't promise you that nobody from our church will hurt you. And I can't promise you I wouldn't hurt you. But I can promise you this, that Jesus Christ never would do that to you. He's faithful, he's just, he's forgiving, he loves you with an everlasting love, and you can trust him. So I see here the hard heart. I see number two, the shallow heart. The shallow heart. Notice it says in verse number 5, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Do you guys see that? Notice in verse number 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, the same kind of ground. Jesus explains it more in depth. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, they're happy, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. This is the shallow heart. This heart is like thin soil upon a rock, which was very typical in the area of Palestine. And now whatever is planted cannot last because it's shallow. It has no roots. In other words, if a storm came or floods raised up in this type of soil, then it was easily destroyed. So in other words, there are people represented in this room that are emotional hearers. But they don't do anything about it. It's kind of like they receive the word, like, that was a great message. Wow, the word of God, that was amazing. But there's no follow through. There's nothing else. It's kind of like they're excited at church, but because they're shallow, when they got home and a little tiny trial came their way, a little flood, everything was wiped away. Because they weren't rooted and grounded in the faith. When you're not rooted and grounded in the faith, when a little trial or a little persecution comes your way, they're gone. They're discouraged. They're curled up in their bed, sucking their thumb, watching Netflix. Just trying to trying to numb the time. Because they're shallow. That's where they're at. The storm reveals how deep our roots really are. That's what it does. A faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. And God sometimes brings a little water your way, a little storm your way, a little trial, a little persecution your way, just to test to see how deep your roots are. I don't know how many times I've seen people come in, they're all excited. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. This is awesome. And I'm glad I'm in church. And this is great. And I'm hearing the word of God. Listen, be careful, because if you're not rooted enough and a trial comes your way, you're going to be swept away real quickly. On to the next thing. Don't be that person. Get rooted and grounded in the faith. Get rooted in the ground. We've had, my wife and I have had the privilege of being in ministry for, since 2006. So over a decade. And we've seen people come and go. We've seen people get grounded and rooted. We've seen people come and get excited, and then they're gone. Like, where'd they go? They were excited, now they're gone. Where'd they go? What happened to them? This is why it's important for you to have a personal devotional life with God, so that you're getting rooted and grounded. That's why I preach the Bible, so that we can dig our roots deeper and deeper in the soil of God's Word and allow Him to work in our lives, to build our faith, to get us stronger, so that, that when the next trial comes, the next storm comes our way, we're not going to be knocked over so easily. We're not going to quit so easily. We know people where in their life, in California specifically, where somebody in their family had passed away. And I'm telling you, I wish that on nobody. And that storm revealed a lot about them. Revealed the ones that were rooted and grounded in Christ. Because when that came, they just stood firm. And it revealed the ones who weren't very rooted, because they're uprooted quickly. It actually caused them to stray away from the Lord. It revealed more than anything. And I'm telling you, trials will come. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, so let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. These trials and these persecutions come our way for the development of our faith, to dig us deeper in His Word, so that we're not swept away so easily. So you guys have to understand, we have to understand that our hearts cannot be shallow. When the Word of God is planted in our heart, it can't just take root real quick, and then when the sun comes out, it's withered away. In Ephesians 3:17, the Bible says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be being rooted and grounded in love. These people that are shallow, they get excited, but there's no follow through. By the way, that's why I love care groups. You know what I love about care groups? It's more than, here's what happens. In a lot of churches, what happens is you hear a message on Sunday, and that's about it. It's like, hey, that was hopeful. Well, we had some lunch, and now I don't have to think about it the rest of the week. But not with care groups. You know what care groups do? It forces us to dig a little bit deeper. It forces us to talk about how we're applying the Scripture, so we're digging deeper. We're not as shallow anymore. And I hope that the messages aren't all shallow, developing shallow Christians. That's why they're rooted in the Word of God, not in my philosophies. So when you show up on Wednesday night, you know what you're doing with those notes that are in your hand? You're taking them, you say, this is what how God has been working in my life. This is how He's been developing me. This is how He's been pruning me. And you as a church family are getting together and getting digging deeper and establishing those roots in Christ and in His love together. That's what I love about the care groups. Another verse that I like is Colossians 2:6-8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Okay? And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The shallow heart, it falls victim to these type of people who spoil them through the philosophies, through the vain deceit, through the traditions of men. They fall victim to that because they weren't rooted in Christ. They became rooted in the traditions. They became rooted in the philosophies. They became rooted in the rudiments of this world. But God wants you to be rooted in Jesus Christ, and that's it. When everything's all done, said and done, this world's passed away, the only thing that'll matter is you being rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. So there's the shallow heart. I want you to see number three, the crowded heart. The crowded heart. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You see that? Some fell among the thorns. It yielded no fruit. Look at verse 18. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entered in, choked the word, and it became unfruitful. this picture represents the person who has received the word but does not truly repent in removing the weeds. Has too many different types of seeds growing up in their heart along with the word of God. See, what kind of fruit is growing in their heart? What kind of seeds have been planted? The Bible tells us, right, Jesus says, worldly cares. Worldly cares. That's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And when you're so wrapped up in the cares of this life, it'll choke out the word that is trying to grow in your life. The desires for riches. That's another one that roots up and springs up. The lust for things, and the word is choked out of our life. We had a man that we knew in California. He was a churchgoer, and he had three children and a wife, and they were in the choir. They were faithful to church, but this guy was so consumed with money, getting more money, and buying a bigger house. I mean, he was consumed with it. I mean, he was at church, and he heard the word, but he also was consumed with having more and living nicer. In fact, on Sundays, right after church, he would take his family around to neighborhoods and say, one day we're going to live in that house. And he'd go to all these raw, I call them rah-rah meetings. You know, a meeting where, you know, if you sign up under this pyramid scheme, you're going to be this rich, and one day you'll live like us, which never works out, by the way, unless you're the originator of that scam. Okay, that's how they work. They show you their house, which you'll never get. And he was so consumed with that. By the way, what do you think their kids would develop? A heart for those things. Oh, the word, man, it's preached and it's growing a little bit, but then you find that it's being crowded out. It's being choked out by the cares and the riches and the desire for things of this world. I've seen a lot of people, they're faithful to church, and I'm thankful for that. And I see the word of God sprouting up and growing, but I also see them they're so concerned about what they have. That those things have them, they don't have those things. And the word of God is trying to grow, but it's not getting enough sun. It's not getting enough growth. It's getting choked out. And by the way, that ought to be the most frustrating life. Because you want to live for God, but at the same time, we have this desire for things in this world, and you get all these weeds growing. Well, what do we do about that? Well, I guess the question is, what is a weed? Now, I didn't know what this was because in growing up in the desert, nothing grows. Like nothing. We tried to plant sunflowers in our backyard one time, and that did not go very well. They sprung up quickly, and then the sun in Las Vegas quickly withered those plants. Somebody told me here in Michigan that a weed is anything that you don't want in your garden. That's all a weed is. Anything could be a weed. A weed is anything you don't want in your garden. Am I right? All right, I just want to make sure. And so a weed in our heart is anything that we don't want growing in our heart. But I wanted to share something with you. This is so good. Okay? The garden, your heart, is not yours. It's God's. So it's God that determines what should grow in your heart, not you. God says, I want this right here. I want my word and the seeds of my word to grow fruit in your life. I don't want the cares of this life to grow in your life. I don't want that to consume your heart and your mind, and you're up at night thinking about those cares and you're worried about them and you're losing sleep. So God says, won't you cast your care upon me because I care for you. Now, let me uproot that so that the word of God can grow. Oh, you want things? You really think those things are going to fulfill? No, I will fulfill. Let me uproot those things. And you allow God to uproot the weeds in your life so that the word of God can take root and grow and bear fruit in your life. That's God's desire for you and for me. So we see here, lastly, the fruitful heart. The fruitful heart. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increase and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And then notice in verse number 19. And wow, I'm just going through them all. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, okay, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So this heart pictures the true believer because of its fruit, because of its changed life. The weeds have been uprooted. It's not growing on shallow soil, and it's not hardened soil being trodden by many people that have used them. This is a soft soil, a soil where the Word of God can begin to grow and bear what it needs to bear. So what kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, if you look in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is, let's say it together, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Some of you are like, I didn't know any of those, Pastor. Well, now you do. I shared that with you. It's those nine fruit. That's the kind of fruit God wants to bear in your life. Listen, if the Word of God is being choked by the cares of this life, you can't be a loving person. That's what it's saying. If you're not rooted and grounded in Christ and in His love, you can't bear that fruit. You're going to lack peace in your life. You're going to be a frantic, angry, bitter person. If your heart is hard, I mean, the Word of God can't even take root whatsoever, and Satan comes and snatches that seed up, and you can't bear any fruit whatsoever. I mean, how many of you guys want to be loving? How many of you guys want to have joy? Listen, joy and peace and all these fruits that he's talking about, it's not the absence of your problems, it's the presence of God's Word in your heart. That's what it's about. So you're sitting here thinking, man, I've been lacking that peace and I've been lacking that joy. I feel like my life is miserable right now. Well, you better check the soil of your heart tonight. Is it being crowded? Is it shallow? Or is it hard? What is it? God wants to bear that fruit so that when your spouse comes to you, she or he finds love and joy and peace and long-suffering, unlike I was with my wife. And meekness, that's power under control. And temperance. God wants those fruit to bear from your life. In the workplace, and in your home, and in your church. Man, you know what's such a great joy as a pastor is to see people in this church bearing those fruit. I love being around those people. I love being around those people. Do you know fruit, the most fruitful trees hang the lowest. Did you know that? They're so full of fruit, they hang so low. The most fruitful Christians are ones that hang the lowest. They're the ones that of humility. It says, Lord, change me. Lord, use me. Lord, make and mold me into the image of your Son. Another type of fruit that God mentions is in John chapter 15. If you turn your Bibles there real quick. John chapter 15. Notice what it says in verse number 1. Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he what? He purges it. He cuts off the needless branches, the stuff that's taking up the energy, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word. There's the word again. There's the seed. You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? How many guys want to bear much fruit? Okay. Now, by the way, this isn't just talking about the fruits of the Spirit. In John 15, it's talking about leading people to Jesus. It's talking about bearing fruit. The only thing that you could take with you is what you've done for Christ and people you lead to him. That's the only thing you can take to heaven. That's it. And God is saying, I want you to be a fisher of men. I want you to bear fruit. I want you to lead people to Christ like Paul got saved. And God wants to use you in that way. And it takes pruning. It takes planting. It takes rooting. And God is trying to manifest that in your life. You know, fruit grows where it's watered. And it's the word of God that waters your heart. In Luke chapter 21, verse 33, the Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And so that the day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." But notice it says heaven and earth, they're all going to pass away. All the cares of this life, one day they're going to pass away. Thank God for that. But his word shall never, ever pass away. And the fruit that his word bears in our life shall never pass away either. I remember living in Arizona. And we were just there in November, and we went through a place called Camp Verde. It's where Sedona is. And it's desert, you know, and there's Verde trees and that sort of thing. But there's a river that runs through Camp Verde. And it's amazing because you can see the river. You can see where it goes. You can see how it bends and how it turns. But you can't see the river. All you see is all the trees that are on the left and the right side of the river. That part of the country is very dry, but in the midst of that is this beautiful river, and flows along on both sides of that river, you find life and you find vegetation. You see, friend, grace flows like that river, and you can trace its source right up to the very heart of God. And if you want fruit that we just talked about tonight to bear out of your life, you have to connect to the very grace of God. You have to connect to the source of that fruit. And the source of that fruit is Jesus Christ. You want to be loving? You have to understand his love for you. If you want to be forgiving, you have to understand his forgiveness on your behalf. Every type of fruit that you want born in your life comes from the very person of Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you to pursue him this week and allow God to bear fruit in your life. And so I mentioned four types of hearts tonight. The hard heart. I mentioned the shallow heart. I mentioned the crowded heart and the fruitful one. And I want to encourage you with three action steps. Number one, I want you to do this tonight. I want you to identify your heart. Where are you at? Where are you at? Be honest with yourself. Let a man examine himself. Be honest with yourself. If your heart is hard, just be open about that. I'm hard. I'm ticked right now. I'm mad. Somebody used me and they abused me and I'm upset. Allow the word of God to begin to break up that fallow ground. Identify your heart. Maybe your heart is shallow. You're excited about what's said. You're excited about church. But then Monday, Tuesday come along and all of a sudden the cares of this life and a little persecution, a little heat comes your way and you're gone. All your joy for God is gone. Maybe that's your heart. Maybe your heart is crowded. Maybe you've been caring too much about the things of this world, the pursuit of riches. And you think, man, I gotta get those weeds uprooted. Maybe that's your heart. Maybe your heart is just soft. It's just growing fruit. And in your life, man, you got a lot of love to share. And you got a lot of peace. And you got a lot of long suffering in your life. Praise God. Allow that fruit to continue to grow. But if not, I would encourage you tonight to get on your knees, examine your heart, say, God, would you help me tonight to bear fruit, the fruit that you desire in my life.